الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus class. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic Studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I'm not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to your authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic Studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic Studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. And today's topic or class will be on the oneness of Allah. I've done a class similar to this earlier, but this is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to go a little bit more deeper into the oneness of Allah, Tawheed. Tawheed is T-A-W-H-E-E-D, and that is the oneness, one way of interpreting it, the oneness of Allah. And in chapter 112, you can turn to it right now while I talk. In chapter 112, Surah Ikhlas, it really expounds on the oneness of Allah. That Allah sits alone on a throne of authority, and there's none like unto Him. And so I won't go into it right now, because there are other ayahs, and go too deep into this right now. And there are other chapters in Quran, or ayahs, or verses in Quran, that also deal with the oneness of Allah. There's nothing similar to Allah. And for example, in Surah Baqarah, which is the second Surah Quran, and that is ayat or verse 255, it really gets into who Allah is. Allah explains to mankind who He is. It's a simple thing. And also, what does He want mankind to do? And it's the sense of doing and following what Allah tells us to do, and stay away from those things Allah tells us to stay away from. And so, in this particular verse, hopefully you are there, the chapter, and that's chapter 112. And when it says, "Qul huwa Allahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad, wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad." And so it's those are very short, just four little verses, but just so powerful, explaining who Allah is. And so when you say the first one, and it said, "Qul Allahu ahad," that He alone is a sustainer. There's no one else has any share or part in the province. And since He is alone, He is what you call the Ilah. He is a deity. He is a God. He is the master sustainer of all. Therefore, no one else has associated in the divine His divinity either. Nothing shares in the divinity of Allah. Allah is the deity. He sits alone on the throne of authority. For the Muslims, we don't associate anything with Allah. No human being equal to Allah. None of Allah's creation, which includes human beings, equal to Allah, or like Allah, or similar to Allah. And so let me move on. Also, it also means, meaning He is a sustainer, Qul Allahu Ahad. And that is, it also means that He alone is the creator of the universe. No one else is is his associate in his work of creation. He alone is the master of the universe, disposer and administrator of his system, and sustainer of the creation creatures. He's a helper. He's a rescuer. He has all kinds of names that he had, at least 99 names that explains who Allah is. In times of hardship, he's the one that helps us. He's the helper. And no one else has any share or part whatsoever in the works of his Godhead. He sits alone, which is meaning me, you, no one else shares in his power and authority. You have through the ages, through mankind, you have people thinking that they're Allah. Are they equal to Allah? Like Pharaoh in Egypt. That he was under his assumption that he was like Allah. Allah gives life and Allah gives death. And so I believe we had a situation where he had two men. And so he had one man killed. He said, I give life and I give death. Had one man killed and one man stayed alive. Or he did not kill that man. I guess proving to himself and others that, look, I have control over life and death. And then it was said to him that, okay, I see what you're trying to do here. Okay, my Lord, Allah, had the sun rise in the east and set in the west. Now, you have all this power, then you have the sun rise from the west and set in the east. Of course, anyone will be dumbfounded by them because we don't have any control over the sun rising and making it rise in the west and set in the east. We do not have that power. Matter of fact, I said to you all in a previous class that the sun itself, we don't see the sun at all. That's when the sun really goes to Allah and ask Allah, can I rise? Can I rise from the east? And then Allah would tell the sun, and one day he would say, okay, yeah, go ahead. You have my permission to rise from the east and set in the west. But it's going to be one day when Allah is going to say to the sun itself, to this massive provider of heat, meaning the sun, one day he's going to say, no, you can't rise from the east. I want you to rise from the west. Only Allah can do that. And when did this happen? Allah knows best when this particular thing will happen. This major sign of the day of judgment is upon us. Keep in mind also, my beautiful students, is that we have to understand is that Allah has no ancestors, no sex, male, female, from who he has inherited the world and will inherit and will have, and no one inherit after him. So I want you all to keep this in mind. Also, when you're talking about Allah is alone, is only one Allah, that he is alone and has been and will be. Allah forever, Allah is forever. Neither was there a God before him, nor would there be any after him. So you got to get perspective here. And I'm trying to break it down as much as I can, so we can have perspective of who Allah is. There's none equal to Allah. We have to understand that. Also that Allah, there's no God before Allah, and there'll be no God after Allah. He sits alone on the throne of authority. And many men, and you looked at the history of mankind, have said before, you know, I'm God. Or I'm like God, or worship me. So just get into the history. You can learn, research that for yourself. And also, there's no race of gods to which he may belong as a member. He is God, one and single. None is, and that he is homogeneous. He is one. There's nothing equal to Allah. There's nothing like Allah. Also keep in mind, Allah simply meaning Almighty God. We say Allah, A-L-L-A-H, Allah. Almighty God created all that we see and all we don't see. And so you can go to some of my previous episode and get more information about this. I'm giving you some very surface stuff pertaining to the basic understanding of the tafsir, if you will, explanation of this particular surah or chapter in Quran, and some are much, much learned than I, and they give you even a more deeper understanding when you're talking about the oneness of Allah and Allah sitting alone on the throne of authority. And so I want my beautiful students also to understand that Allah is not a compound being, like made up of this, that, or the other. He's just one. And which may be sort of that it kind of analyze him. You know, he's not divisible. He's like separated into three or four different parts to him. Has no form, has no shape, and has no real place where he resides except for above his throne, as mentioned in the Quran. And also, of course, he has no color. And may have some limbs that he says mentioned himself in the Quran, in which he also Allah is free from every kind of anything plural, meaning that he is more than one. He is one, and he is nothing like Allah. And so also in this particular verse and this particular chapter, and then it's Kuhullah Ahad, Allahu Samad, and that says basically that Allah, he is Allah who is one Allah. He is in need of none and of none and of whom all need Allah. One of the Prophet's companions, Abu Hurairah, he said that Allah, He is who is independent of all, and all others are dependent upon him. That's the most basic thing that I can say to you so you understand who Allah is. The Allah does not depend on anything or anyone, but everything and everyone depends on Allah. And then we have Lam Yalid Walam Yulad. Neither he begot, nor is he begotten. Meaning that he is the originator of the heavens and the earth. And how should he have a son when he has no consort? He has created each and everything. So for the Muslim, that Allah does not have a son, a daughter, a wife. He has none of these things. According to the Islamic faith, and this is what we believe, and this is what we understand. And so I want to be clear with my students about the understanding of what Islam is. For some people, what is Islam? So some people, Islam is kind of a mystery for some people, or some people that think they know all about Islam because of what they've seen on social media, on TV. It's what they tell you what Islam is, or how they want you to see Islam. It's like some groups of people, whoever controls the media, they want you to see this particular group of people in a certain way. If they control the information, they control what goes into your head and what you believe and what you understand. And so I want you all to also understand about the Muslim, is that it's what others say about us, but you're in my class, and some of you have been in my class for years, and you're learning from my class who Muslims are and who Muslims are not. And everything that I said, there's proof in writing pertaining to what I'm talking about. I'm trying to give you very basic information about it, but you could go to a neighborhood mosque or go to some of the learned people in the Muslim community, and they can go more in depth about what I'm talking about, and go deeper into what I'm talking about. I'm just giving you a little bit of the understanding about this way of life called Islam, and that you have at least 2 billion people throughout the world that are Muslim, and we have 7 billion people in the world. Then that's basically out of every 7 people, 2 of them are Muslim. That's basically what that is saying. May you have Muslims in your own family, or maybe you may be Muslim, may come from a country where most of the people are Muslim. And so I want you also to understand, although you may be in a country where most of the people are Muslim, I want you also to understand what Islam is. And what Islam is not, and you can go to your scholars and ask them about what I'm talking about, or look it up for yourself in various books and learn for yourself. And the main book that you have to have for this class is Quran. And I want you, when we're not having class, at least read the book before class, at least one time before class. If you could do more, then take the time and do more. Set aside some time where I'm going to read Quran and learn about this thing about Islam, what Islam is all about. I'm in the class. I want to understand. I don't want to be told about what Islam is. I want to understand what Islam is all about. And so I want to also read to my beautiful students on this last verse. Of course, the first one is Huwala Ahad Allahu Samad Lam Yalid Walam Yulad Walam Yakullahu Kufuwan Ahad. And so, in the last part, is that there is none co-equal or comparable unto him, which means that this particular verse, that there is no one in the entire universe, nor ever was, nor ever can be, who is similar to Allah or equal in rank with him, or resembling him in his attributes, work, and power in any degree whatsoever. So I gave you very brief information about Allah and who Allah is, and you go to that one chapter, which is a very short chapter with 4 verses in it. Bismillah Rahim, Kuala Ahad, Allahu Samad, Lam Yalid, Walam Yulad, Walam Yakullahu, Kufuwan Ahad, and it explains very well who Allah is, and also the flip side, who Allah is not. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.